Welcome, everybody. Good to see everybody here. And we are in 2 Samuel chapter 21, and we were just about ready to begin verse 8, if you will remember. The king had decided to hand over some people to the Gibeonites to avenge what had happened to them through the hand of Saul. All right. So we are ready to start verse 8 of chapter 21, 2 Samuel, where the author writes, "Vayikach HaMelech et Shnei b'nei Ritzpah bat Ayah asher yalda l'Shaul et Armoni ve'et Mephiboshet ve'et Chameshet b'nei Mikal bat Shaul asher yalda l'Adriel ben Barzillai ha-Mecholati." There's a lot of words there you don't understand. Don't worry about them because they're all names. All right? So, the king took, Vayikach, it's from the root lakach, remember? The king took the two sons of Ritzpah. Notice the syntax for numerals once again. The two is, this in this case, in construct form, all right? So it took the two sons, is construct form, of Ritzpah, the daughter of Ayah, which she had born. Yalda is just a call, third feminine from Yalad, which she had born to Shaul. Okay, Et Armoni was the name, and by the way, this is the one that the famous line of Italian suits comes from. Okay, and Mephibosheth. It is. And Pope Benedict has just, did you hear recently, this is the first Italian martyr, Armoni. You guys. Everything's falling flat. All right, never mind. And Mephibosheth, all right? So he took Armoni and Mephibosheth and Chameshet, five, and notice that this is in construct as well, all right? It's feminine. Notice that the absolute form would be Chamesha, okay, Chameshet, and five sons of Michal. Now, notice in your translations, and you'll see this in the textual apparatus, rather than Michal, virtually every translation will have a textual emendation here and put Merav, because when you turn back to 1 Samuel, way back to like 1 Samuel 18, Merav was the daughter of Saul, notice the rest of the line, whom she bore to Adriel. Merav was the one that David was supposed to marry. And right when he was to marry her, Saul gave Merav to this Adriel. All right? And so she appears way... So most people suggest that this Michal is not correct. And there's other manuscripts that have the other reading as well. Okay, so that's the difference. All right. So, and so she took the five sons of Merav, daughter of Shaul, which she had born to Le'adriel, son of Barzillai the Mecholati, the Mecholite, whatever that is, and whoever this is. And anyway, we know who they are. Okay? Let's go to verse 9. Va'yitnem b'yad ha'givonim va'yoki'um bahar lifnei Yahweh va'yiplu shevatayim yachad v'hema whom tu b'mekatzir barishonim mi techilat ketzir seorim. Okay, there's a number of textual stuff here that this is helpful and good for you guys to see kind of a text that has some easily discernible problems with it and how those problems are solved. Okay, so the first word, Yitame, is from Natan, and it has the third plural suffix, masculine plural suffix ending. And he gave them into the hand of the Givonim, of the Gibeonites. Okay? And they Yoki'um. Remember, this is our word from Yaka, Yud Kof Ein, and it is a Hifil form. And it means either to impale or to expose or simply to execute. You have, no one's quite sure of the meaning of, I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those bad news words, whatever it is, All right. We saw it earlier, and we'll see it in another form. Notice in, you see it in verse 6 with that veho kanum. Here you have the vav consecutive imperfect form. The form up there is the vav plus perfect form. So va yoki um, and I'll just translate it, and they executed them, bahar lifnei Yahweh, and they executed them on the mountain before the Lord. All right. And they fell, va yiplu. This is again from what root? Va yiplu. From nafal. Notice the nun has assimilated. And they fell. Now notice this next word. The Masoret simply wants you to read shiva, which is the number 7, with the masculine plural suffix. What you have there is a dual form. With the suffix, it's really strange. So they actually kind of want you to read Shevatam without that yud after the tav. So you would translate their 7, but we would say in English the 7 of them fell. Yachad, that's an adverb, together. Okay. So again, the 7 of them fell together. Okay. Now look at the next line. You can see very easily what happened here. That ve, haim. Do you see how weird that looks? Behema. Notice that the Masoretes want you to read he, mem, he, namely, and they. Okay, and they. Now notice that what's missing from the first word is the he at the end of the word. Can anyone see why, if you're a copyist, that he might have been dropped? Yes, because there's a hey at the beginning of the next word, see? And so a haplography sometimes happens in which a text will lose a letter if there's two letters in a row. You can see how that very easily can happen. So the pointing of the Masoretes, they actually want you to restore the reading to Vehema. And they, whom to? Everyone see the root there? It's from moot, to die. This is a hafal. We're going to see like two or three hafals here, so be prepared for the rare hafal, which drives people nuts. But the hifil of moot, if the call means to die, what does the hifil mean? From intransitive to transitive, so it means to kill. Hafal is passive of hifil, to be killed or to be put to death. All right, so just remember, when your intransitive call, usually becomes transitive in hifil, and then the passive of the transitive would be the hafal form. So, and they were put to death, bimei, in the days of katsir, in the days of the harvest. Katsir is harvest, okay? Ba rishonim, in the beginnings. That's rishon is in the first, so they probably say in the first days, or rishon. Is from, you know, remember the word rosh, which means head. Well, rishon means first. So in the first. Okay, now notice if you look at footnote D, or the Masoretic text at the note, notice you have a vowel point and no letter above it. With that, it's like techilat. See that? That's a techilat. Everybody see that in the text? So you're wondering what the letter is. If you look out at the end, it's a bait. So they, in other words, they're suggesting the bait has dropped out. All right, so they want you to read bit hilat, in the beginning. So techila means beginning, and it's in construct. In the beginning of the harvest of se'orim, barley. So once again, let me read that whole note. And they were put to death in the days of the harvest, at the beginnings. All right? And now he specifies, in the beginning of the harvest of barley, the barley harvest. All right? So techilat is synonymous with rishonim. Everybody see that? Does anyone have any questions about any of the syntax or grammar in those two verses? It's kind of strange because you're seeing some textual, obvious textual things that are taking place here. Any questions? All right. All right, let's go to verse 10. Now, here's where it gets real kind of heart-wrenching. Vatikach ritzpabat aya et hasak vatatehu la'el hatzur mitechilat katzir ad nitak maim alehem min hashamayim. Okay, I'll stop there. Vatikach, and she took from Lakach, and Ritzpah's the subject, and Ritzpah, the daughter of Aya, took et hasak, the sackcloth. That's a really easy word to remember. Sack is sackcloth. Took the sackcloth. Vatatehu. Everybody, what's the root of vatatehu? Nata. Notice the nun is assimilated. Dagesh preceded by a short vowel. And this is a hifil form. Patak under the top tells you. And she stretched it, or spread it, la, for herself, el hatzur, on the rock. See, remember, they were actually executed at Gibeah, which was Saul's hometown and also his capital. So it's ironic, see, that Saul's descendants, it's this bitter irony that Saul's descendants were executed by the Gibeonites at Gibeah. Okay, you have that kind of ironic twist. And there must have been some kind, there was probably some kind of worship site or something there. And so you could take, so if you know that frame of reference, that's probably why the definite article is on the rock. Everyone knows that there was a rock there where maybe sacrifices were offered or punishment meted out or something like that. All right. So she stretched it for herself on the rock, mitechilat, from the beginning. That's a min plus techilah. From the beginning of the katsir, of the harvest, ad nitak, until water was poured out. Okay? Everybody see that nitak? That is a nifal form. If I say it's nifal, what's the root? Deaconess Ruth? Natak. Very good. The nun has assimilated. See what makes it look weird? You could really mistake this for a PL, right? And I wouldn't blame you if you looked up natak. You'd have the right root, but you would see that the PL form isn't there. And so the next, it's confusing because of that assimilated nun. So you would translate it, was poured out. Okay? So she evidently was on that rock. Okay, from the beginning of the harvest up until water, we would say rain, was poured out upon them from the heavens. See, so through the whole season of harvest, she was there. Velo natna of hashamayim. And not did she permit a bird. This is from Natan, third masculine singular. Very woodenly, she did not give an oaf, the bird of the heavens, la nuach, to rest alehem, on them. That la nuach is a call infinitive construct. Okay. Yomam, here's the adjective. Yomam, notice that am ending makes the a noun yom, an adverb, yomam, daily. And you'll see this idiom very much, very often in Hebrew. Yomam valaila, by day and night. And that's what you see here. So she stretched it for herself on the rock from the beginning of the harvest up until water was poured out on them from the heavens. And not did she permit the birds of the heavens to rest on them by day, ve'et chayat hasadeh, or the beast of the field, laila, at night. So notice laila, you don't need a preposition there. Laila, no, remember in Hebrew, since there's not a lot of adverbs, they use nouns for adverbs. Sometimes they use infinitive absolutes for adverbs. Sometimes they add prepositions to nouns for adverbs. Sometimes they use that mom ending for adverbs. And here, just by the pattern, you know that it's adverbial, at night or by night. Okay, good. Questions through 10. Everything pretty clear? Okay, verse 11. Vayugadla David et asher. Asta Ritzpah bat Aya Pileges Shaul. Okay, Vayu God, and it was told. Here's another Hafal form. From what root? Na God. Very good. Yeah, it occurs in the Hifil. And again, the Nun has assimilated. All right. And remember, for those first Nun verbs, the Hafal form has that Yud than either the kibbutz or the shuruk, the u, okay? And it was told to David. Just remember, hafa, oh, you get an o sound. Sometimes long kamatz, the o, sometimes the kibbutz, u, or the shuruk, u, okay? You get that with first yud verbs, first nun verbs, and hollow verbs, and double root verbs. So you're going to see it a lot. And it was told to David what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the Pelegesh, the concubine of Saul, had done. Okay? I'll go one more verse. Verse 12. Vayelech David vayikach et atzmot. So David went from Halak, vayelech. Everybody see it? So David went vayikach. Hey, third time we've seen lakach in this text. See? And he took the atzmot, the bones of Saul, the et atzmot, the bones of Jonathan, his son. This is kind of a surprising little sidelight in the text, remember, because he hasn't been talking about the bones of Saul. He's been talking about the bones of Saul's descendants. Okay, but you'll see what happens in a second. So David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the Baalei Yavesh Gilead, from the leaders, that's Baal, from the leaders of Jabesh Gilead, which, Ganvu, they had stolen them. Okay, notice the resumptive pronoun, otam. So literally, it's which they had stolen them. We would say, it's just which they had stolen. Me rechov. Rechov is a word which means broad street. We would, maybe the town square. So I'm going to translate, which they had taken from the town square of Beit Shan. Okay, now if you remember, well, you probably won't remember. You have to go back to all the way back to 1 Samuel 31 when Saul died. When Saul died and Jonathan died, remember he committed suicide and his men around him? Well, the Philistines came, stripped them of the armor, took the bodies, and nailed them to the wall in Beit Shan. When the men of Jabesh Gilead heard that, they went at night, took the bodies down from the wall, and brought them to Jabesh Gilead. And that's where the remains of Saul and Jonathan were. So now what David is simply saying is he got those remains from Jabesh Gilead, and he's going to do something with them. Okay, it's weird because that happened a long time ago. So got them from the street of Beth Shan, where... this is from Tala, Tav, Lamed, He. And again, it's another strange reading, so I won't go into it now. I'll maybe explain it next time. And they hung them, or where they had hung them, Shama. Here's another. The same thing happens here as happened in verse 9. You see that? That's just from, that's Sham plus the locative He, two there. And the Masoretes are actually saying that you should take the hay in front of the Philistines, the next word, and put it with Shama. So which they had hung there, namely the Philistines, in the day that Hakoach, the Philistines, had struck. That Hakoach is a Hifil infinitive absolute from Nakach. In the day of the striking of the Philistines, or in the day that the Philistines struck Saul in Gilboa. And that's referring back to that 1 Samuel 31. Okay. What I'll do then, we'll stop here, but I'll go back through verse 12 a little more slowly so you guys can see some of those forms next week and see where we're at. All right? All right, you guys, thanks for coming. Have a great day.